The Sea Grant Files, fresh news about fresh water.
Hi, I'm Jesse Schomburg, and you're listening to The Sea Grant Files. We have Tom Beery in the studio today. Tom is Minnesota Sea Grant's Coastal Resilience Specialist. Welcome back to The Sea Grant Files, Tom.
Thanks, Jesse.
So can you describe what a resilience specialist does and how the work benefits coastal communities?
Yeah, you bet. Most of my work is focused upon responding to climate change and preparing for projected impacts of change. Our coastal community of Duluth is facing three major climate challenges, not just currently, but projected into the future. And they are, one, we're getting warmer and wetter. Two, we're losing our winter cold, especially our cold winter overnights. And three, we have more frequent high-intensity storm events. So all the work I do comes back to these three trends. And this work is often referred to as climate adaptation, meaning the efforts we employ to prepare for anticipated change while still being able to thrive as a community.
So thinking about the storms that have been tearing up parts of the communities around Lake Superior in the past several years, including the recent storm that re-damaged Duluth's Lake Walk, how do you think we can build more resilient communities? What are the major challenges?
Yeah, we've had some very big climate challenges over this past year. Well, going back a number of years, but this last year we were hit hard with this high water level and strong storms with just the right wind fetch. So we've seen damage to our precious Lake Walk, Brighton Beach, Canal Park, Park Point. These changes are right up front and close right now. And to face these concerns and other climate change challenges like our stormwater management, we need to do three things. One, we need top-down infrastructure. We need to rebuild critical infrastructure to be more resilient in light of these changes and, for example, on the Lake Walk, the dynamic nature of our lakeshore. Number two, we need real grassroots bottom-up community involvement. We need the entire community on board. We need to understand that we're in a time of unpredictable climate change and that resilience will involve all of us. And we can all take action from how we manage our lawns to the policies that we support. And three, the other thing we need to do as a community is make some tough decisions. We may have to make some difficult changes, like routing or even closing roads. For example, a reimagined Kitchigami Park might need to look very different, but that doesn't mean worse. It doesn't mean less. We can re-envision better places while still making tough decisions about protecting roadways.
So I know you've been working to improve the lives of some of our community's youngest members, preschoolers, through the Nature Play Collaborative. Can you talk about the goals of the collaborative and how they relate to community resilience?
Right. Now, this might sound like an odd jump from talking about road infrastructure at Brighton Beach to now I want to talk about Nature Play. But seriously, it's all about resilience. In the case of our preschool Duluth children, research shows us that these children need access to unmanaged green space for play. Play that is not directed by adults and includes the ability to interact with the environment. And this is called nature play. And how this relates to resilience is really interesting. Research has shown us that nature play are regular opportunities for young children to have to interact on their own and with other children in nature supports really important child development, physical development, cognitive, affective. And so it really does fit into this idea of community resilience that right from the start, we're thinking about how our youngest are thriving, growing, and adapting in our community. I often argue that I love this emphasis on trails in Duluth, and that is serving our resilience needs. We're providing rich opportunities for Duluth residents to get out and be active in nature. And so we need the same focus for our youngest Duluthians. Preschoolers need play. They need nature play as much as maybe you or I, Jesse, need to go hiking on the trails or biking or skiing. Kids need play. And play in nature may be a critical first step to a more nature-connected society. So I want to tell you about an event. Sea Grant is hosting next week, November 29th at 6 p.m. at the Duluth Folk School. And we're working together with the Nature Play Collaborative to bring this event to Lincoln Park neighborhood. We're going to show a short film, a lively, interesting film about a forest kindergarten. We're going to highlight some local research on Nature Play in Duluth. We're going to hear from members of the Nature Play Collaborative about their work. We've had these a number of times over the last couple of years. They're fun. They're they're lively, a lot of folks come out, and here's a great chance to check out the new Duluth Folk School and hang out in Lincoln Park.
So one thing that you and I have talked about before is the importance of open space for resilience in the communities. And so as I'm thinking about kids and nature play and having places for them to go out, it's those same open spaces, isn't it?
You know, it really is. And Jesse, we have this terrific opportunity in Duluth to think about open space in so many ways that overlap. So we can think about open space when we think about protecting our streets from stormwater damage or, you know, erosion. We can think about open space if we're thinking about overall the ability to capture water from big storm events. We can think about open space if we're concerned about biodiversity or the health of our urban forest. And we can think about open space when we think about people and their connection to nature, whether it's adults that need to hike and ski and bike, or whether it's children that need safe, high-quality green space for play and exploration. So all of these fit together really nicely.
So how do you see your role in trying to help pull all these different pieces together, thinking about, you know, stormwater infrastructure and places to play and all these things? How does your job at Sea Grant help to tie or make connections between those things?
One way is just what I was talking about, co-benefits, you know, that helping the public, helping our decision makers in the community see how these different objectives really fit nicely together. You know, we have a number of situations here in Duluth that are win-win-win. And part of it is we need data. We need information. You know, we need for folks to understand how these different pieces fit together. For example, one of my research projects right now is just looking at the distribution of access to nature play from preschools in Duluth. So that's one way that I'm coming at this question via research. And my outreach duties, where I'm out in the community and educating or working with community members, I see that as a chance to talk about these connections and help the community get creative about where these connections exist and how we can really capitalize on all these different co-benefits.
Tom, thanks for being on the show. It's been great having you.
My pleasure, and happy Thanksgiving.
For more information about the Nature Play Collaborative or Coastal Resilience and Climate Change, contact Minnesota Sea Grant by email at seagr@d.umn.edu or by phone at 218-726-8106. Ask for Tom Beery. This episode of the Sea Grant Files was produced by Sharon Moen, Chris Harwood, KUMD, and me, Jesse Schomburg. To listen to other episodes of the Sea Grant Files, visit Minnesota Sea Grant at www.seagrant.umn.edu. Thanks for listening.